to talk about the Knicks, both to try and figure out what happened today, but also to talk about what we've been seeing over the last month and a half. We bring in Steve Popper, covers the Knicks for Newsday. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, good. Better than some of the fans. I think. Well, almost stepped into a large pile of vomit as I left the arena.
Oh, really? Some
Knicks fan deservedly maybe had a couple too many, or just the sight of what they saw out there.
Yeah, it was sort of make you throw up in your mouth kind of game for Knicks fans. It was not pretty. And all right, so I'm going to give you two theories on why the Knicks played so poorly out in Los Angeles. And you know what? I'll give you three. Theory number one. They went out last night. They had a great time in L.A., and this was a 12:30 start West Coast time, and they just laid an egg. That's option one. Option two, just chalk it up to a bad shooting night when they just couldn't hit the side of a barn and shot 24% from three-point range. And then option three, they've been playing so well and especially had come off of the energy of playing some of the top teams in the league. Even though they barely lost at the Garden in a close game to Oklahoma City, then they beat the Spurs, they beat Denver, and maybe just, I don't know, some of your intensity and your mojo wears off a little, and LeBron James not playing. You just don't quite bring the same intensity to playing the Lakers. Those are your three options. What do you got?
Well, I'd add to the first one, daylight savings times, which took an hour away from us all out here, and we're all kind of bleary-eyed at the time changes and stuff when you're out here. But look,
So if you did go out in Los Angeles and you had a good time, then you're waking up even earlier. That's true. It ends up feeling like it's 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I do think, look, there's something to that, for any team and sure, especially for a visiting team. The one excuse I wouldn't put on them is the shooting, because I think what they've shown over the last 20 games or so, though, is that the shooting is not the determinative factor. Mm-hmm. And I think what really frustrated the players, frustrated Mike Brown, was that, kind of what they call the controllables were not there, that they were a step slow defensively.
Yep.
Then they're closing out late and they're grabbing and, reaching and fouling early, getting in foul trouble. There's some frustration early on with some of the calls that they weren't getting and calls that were going the other way.
One thing I would toss in there, and I don't know if you have the stat on this, but I saw that the other night against Denver, Mike Brown had cited in his post game that the Knicks had won. They were 15 for 15 on what would be considered those 50-50 balls. And I saw that you sort of tweeted that out. Hey, this comment about it, at least to my eyes watching this game, it felt like the Knicks were also a step slow on some of those 50-50 balls or, potential rebounds or things like this, that the Lakers were quicker on those as well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I asked Mike, because the same thing I test to me, it felt like the Lakers got every loose ball. And, we're just, Marcus Smart is tremendous, sort of in the same mold as Josh Hart, it kind of just, seems to come up with all those balls. And to my eyes, it seemed like the Knicks were a step slow on those. Mike said he had the first half stats and that the Knicks had gotten 6 out of 8 of them. I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And I'm gonna tell you, the second half, I believe those stats went down.
Yeah.
Right. It's something, even like I think I said the other day when he said 15 or 15, it's sort of like I'm trusting him but not verifying that those numbers are accurate. But they just seemed, in every aspect of it, they were a step slow. Offensive rebounding, I think the Lakers had 30 today, which is just, a crazy number for a team as good as the Knicks defense, on the boards. And so I think that's what they saw, was the offensive rebounding getting beat with second chance points. And look, every time you give, Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves an extra opportunity, you're playing with fire. So the offense was bad. The shooting was terrible. But that you feel like you can overcome. And look, they cut it to 10, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make a shot, but they also gave up those second chance opportunities and you know, just saw, you know, dagger shots come and bury them. It was just from the start of the game. And they've had some slow starts in, I think, San Antonio, even Denver. I think they were down 11-3 or 11-2. They've had some slow starts first couple of minutes of games and you know, taken over. This game just didn't ever seem to come.
Yeah, you mentioned even San Antonio. It was a slow start, and when the Knicks started off slowly, it was almost like in the late first quarter of that game, Jalen Brunson just decided, all right, it's my time, and he just started making a few shots slash getting to the foul line and doing one of those things where he gets fouled and starts putting up some points, and the next thing you know, a double-digit lead is a four-point lead or something like that. And to your point in this game, I think there were a couple of times, you know, there were some times he may have tried to do that and there was physical play and he wasn't getting some of those calls. And they just, you know, kind of could never get their way back in. Are you going to look at this one? Is there anything about this game that would sound the alarms and be a concern for a team that has played so well for a while? Or are we chalking this one up in general as they just had a bad night and it doesn't take away from what we've seen the last month and a half?
Yeah, I think that's the take that they all seem to have is, you know, we've got the Clippers tomorrow and let's make this right. And look, I think in an 82-game schedule, I agree with them that, you know, you're going to have these days, these games that look terrible. And look, maybe you're not as good as you looked against Denver the other night. You know, there were a lot of reasons why Denver lost that game too. Just you know that they were getting guys back from injuries and lost Jamal Murray. So you know, maybe you're not as good as you look when you win. You're not as bad as you look when you lose. But I think that they kind of took the attitude of, you know, what we've been doing right is sort of the lesson here, that when we do those things, we're a very good team. When we don't do them, this is the result. You know, when we don't out hustle, and I think one of the sort of trademarks you've seen over the last, you know, month and a half has been that they've been much more physical defensively. Mm-hmm. I think they felt like some of that was taken away by the officials early in the game today, and they couldn't play the way they wanted to play, and guys were, you know, being forced to, you know, bench with foul trouble. I think that's sort of a good sign that you'll see if, you know, and it's not just the guys who are the defensive, you know, not just the OG Anunoby and Josh Hart. It's been, you know, Karl Anthony Towns has been playing very well defensively. Mikal Bridges was as physical against Denver as I've seen him. And I think what they see is, you know, let's take that lesson from when we play that way, we're a very good team. And sometimes they kind of didn't, I think, agree with this, but I think sometimes you need to see what happens when you don't do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, you can win 20 games in a row, but it's good to sometimes see that if we don't do those things, you know, we're very beatable. And that probably goes for every team in the NBA.
Yeah, look, they beat San Antonio the other night. San Antonio had won 11 in a row, the hottest team in the league. And, you know, same thing can happen to them. They can, you know, Knicks played well, they didn't play as well, and that happens. Talking to Steve Popper, who's out there in Los Angeles covering the Knicks, lost today to the Lakers. And you mentioned, you know, their defense. So since January 21st, they're the number one team in the NBA in defensive rating. And obviously over 5 years, head coach Tom Thibodeau, his calling card was he was known to be a very good defensive coach. And also his teams just always played consistently hard. So what does it say from, you know, there were a lot of people who were very concerned that the Knicks moved on from Tibbs. They hire Mike Brown, who is historically known or thought of from his time as a head coach, let's say, in Sacramento, you know, before that, obviously, with, you know, Sacramento, Cleveland. But he was thought of as more of an offensive head coach. And here are the Knicks. And there have been criticism, you know, during the season and questions. Should they have fired him? Should they have not? Should they have hired Mike Brown? You know, since January 21st, so about a month and a half, that the Knicks have the number one defensive rating. And while there have been some scheme changes, is it safe to say a lot of this, Steve, is getting the players to just buy in, play harder, lock in on defense, and communicate better?
I'll say this. I mean, I wrote a million times. I think you were taking a very daring move firing Tom Thibodeau, because I think he's a very, very good coach and got every ounce he could out of this team. That said, I'll give Mike Brown credit for this. He stepped into a very tough situation and has been adaptable, and he's talked about this pretty openly, that, you know, they've reverted to some of the things. You know, he came in with certain plans, certain ways he wanted to do things, and you know, when you apply for a job or interview for a job, you know, you kind of lay out what you're going to do differently. And there's been a lot of things that he's gone back to that Tom Thibodeau did. And I think it speaks well for Mike that he wasn't, you know, too big of a man to, you know, say they did this well before me and let's go back to that. I think defensively some of that, you know, is going back. Mike's talked about changing the offense, changing the defense. I think there's been some things that, you know, some wrinkles into the offense that they've added that have been helpful, and, you know, maybe more cutting, sort of a more diverse offense. But I think defensively, basically some of the things that Thibodeau really preached every day, the physicality and you know, taking it to the other team, I think some of that are things that Mike is kind of echoing Tom on now. So I think there, you know, well, we all are looking for what the changes are. I think I'm looking at it the other way. There's a lot of similarities in this team now, you know, Mike realizing that, you know, this group, you know, you have to adapt to them, that they played a certain way and played very well and were successful. And sometimes changing that, they don't fit, you know, the scheme that you ran in Sacramento or what, you know, he learned in Golden State. You know, you have to adapt to the talent you have, and that's what I think they've done here. And they've done a pretty good job of it, you know, in the second half of the season.
One difference, any difference versus last year, and from the first part of the season, you alluded to it a moment ago. Karl Anthony Towns is playing noticeably better defense in the last month and a half. And what do you... Is there a coach on the coaching staff that you think, you know, is there somebody who works with him that got through to him? Is there a teammate who got through to him? Is it Mike Brown? What is it that has changed that has Karl Anthony Towns? Look, it's not every play. It's not going to be every night. But for a player who was historically known as a poor defender, and last year part of what went wrong with the Knicks and in the postseason, a lot of times it looked like you could not use a lineup with Brunson and Cat on the floor very much because it was too much of a defensive liability. And Cat's defense is noticeably better. What do you attribute it to?
Yeah, it's funny. And look, you know, we're all guessing at this. I'll say this, first of all, Cat's an 11-year veteran and a very smart guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of it is himself. I think he saw the criticism and saw what was necessary. And I think the players have talked about that there's been a good communication among themselves, that, you know, at sort of how they solve problems. You know, there was some stuff made, you know, about a players-only meeting after the Dallas game, and the players all insisted it was not a players-only meeting, and coaches have told me it's not a players-only meeting. What it was the same thing they always do, is before the coach comes in, they sit there in front of their lockers, and I think maybe that day there were some more things said that needed to be said, and maybe Jalen Brunson took the lead on that. But I think, you know, I don't think it was anything, you know, derogatory, but I think it was more of a call to arms of what we all have to do. And I think Carl has, I'd say this, on both ends of the floor, he's sort of changed things. He's been very aggressive. He's been, you know, coming up higher, you know, defensively, and just, you know, it just looks different. It looks, I'm not going to say effort, that the effort wasn't there before, but it's just a different style and a more aggressive physical play by him. And I think it's made a huge difference in the Knicks defense. If you ask me what's the biggest difference, I'd say that. And also maybe Landry Shamet, the way he's played, sort of has given them another guy off the bench who really can be a wing defender and you know, kind of versatile. But I think Carl is also, you know, I think he's sacrificed a lot offensively. You know, this is a guy who's been one of the best scoring big men in the game. And he's had nights where he's getting, you know, 5-6 shots, and some of them are, you know, putbacks of misses, you know, offensive rebounds. I think there's, you know, other levels that he knows he can reach. And he's kind of sacrificed that a little bit to make, you know, a sort of the whole five-man unit work, you know, in the best way it can. And then there's going to have, you know, there's going to be days today. He was their leading scorer of 25 points. I just think there's been sort of a give or a sacrifice by him. And I think, you know, probably we should give him credit for that, that he's sort of seen what was early in the season. Just, you know, he talked about his role not being what he was accustomed to, and he was adapting to it. And I think he has, whether he's happy doing that for years or not, I don't know. But I'd say right now he's adapted, and he's doing on both ends of the floor, doing kind of what needs to be done to make this team win.
If Karl Anthony Towns plays that way heading into April, from what you're seeing, is this Knicks team a potential contender for a title, or is there, you know, is there something, you know, something else that needs to change that you need to see?
I've said this for a while now. They're a team that I could see beating anybody and winning a championship, and they're a team that you see other days like today, and you're like, going to be tough to get past the first round if it's Philadelphia, or you know, you just don't know what they're going to be day to day, and mm-hmm. You know, I've said from the beginning of the year, I think the East is a lot tougher than people give it credit for. I think, you know, Detroit has obviously had their number and is a very tough matchup for them. And we'll see, because Detroit and Orlando are two teams that are very physical and kind of gave the Knicks some trouble this season. But the Knicks have kind of picked up their physicality and sort of look more like the teams of the Thibodeau era as the season has worn on. So we'll see how they match up with that. I think Boston now with Tatum back is you know, going to be a nightmare for somebody. Philadelphia with their guards, you know, if Embiid is healthy, they're a nightmare. I just think the path is tough, and you've got to be playing your best, and you've got to cross your fingers that you're healthy. And I say this all the time, you put together a team to be a championship contender, and I think they did that. Their, you know, end-to-end talent is as good as anybody in the league. And then it's sort of roll the dice, and you see what happens in your matchups and, you know, injury-wise, things like that. I'd say they're a contender, but it certainly will not be an easy path.
Yeah, I'll say this also for Mike Brown and the way he's managed things is that all of the starters are playing fewer minutes this season than they, you know, averaging fewer minutes than they did last year. And I think Jalen, it's only a difference of like a minute, but the others are playing a few minutes less per game. And so you hope that come postseason time, maybe they're a little fresher. We shall see.
Yeah, I think on the whole, it makes a difference for the guys. And the one guy, as you know, is Jalen. And you wonder with some of his shooting struggles lately. Obviously, the way teams are playing him, they're determined to get the ball out of his hands, to double team him, to make things hard, throwing all kinds of defenders at him. But, you know, you wonder if he could use a little breather himself.
Yeah, I kind of looks that way to me, that he looks a little tired. And we're seeing a shift with him focusing on setting up other players, getting others involved in the offense in the last few games and all of that. But his legs look, you know, shots that we know he makes all the time missing. He just looks a little tired. And I know he's the sort of player that will never take a load management game off, yeah. but you wonder if there is an upcoming game where they really kind of try and reduce his minutes significantly to give him a bit of a break.
Yep.
We'll see. All right, Knicks lay an egg in Los Angeles, but in general, defense playing much better. Steve Popper, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime, Lori. Glad to do it.